That's right. We're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on a victory reaction Tuesday after your Texans get a pretty inspiring 30-6 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers and kind of sat Aaron Rodgers down. It does feel like he is done, as he has hinted a lot of times this year that it feels like he'll be done, and I don't know that that was inspiring for him to return. We did ask, though, what is as satisfying as that feeling of retiring Aaron Rodgers, and there's still great answers rolling in from the 3-4-6, growing up short and then finally hitting 6 foot. Oh, yeah, baby,
that's
oh,
big.
Yeah.
Can't relate to that one.
It's all good. But you act like it, and I respect that about you. Somebody said, when their car started after rebuilding the engine by themselves. So the first time you get that thing to turn over after putting all these little different, gauges and stuff in there.
I can't relate to that one, but that's got to be a great feeling.
That sounds, but I mean, you built things, together.
No, the closest I get is when you're fixing, like I was fixing our generator the other day.
Oh, yeah, that feels like that.
And then it cranked. I'm like, yeah, baby, woo! I did that.
Yeah, feeling of self-fulfillment from the 832. Got to hear their son's name called on the stadium PA for the first time this football season. Oh, yeah. That sense of pride when your kid on varsity making plays, baby. You're like, oh, man, this is something else entirely.
Tackled by Edward Figueroa.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, there's a lot of sad. I miss these two. 832, sending Deshaun Watson to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Just hear this is your problem now. Yeah. I respect that.
I will say I felt good when I first heard my song on the radio.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first time.
That's huge.
Because it was a big deal. I wish I could have got video of it or anything, just hearing it is just like, oh, I finally made it.
And then finally, watching Jalen Petrie hit Rashee Rice against the Chiefs. That one did scratch something back in the most violent
that visual
of our brains.
Gonna live in my head forever,
a
man.
A long time.
Yeah. With Mike Tirico, pop! Mike Petrie!
He sure did. The Texans did a decent amount of popping in this game last night. Again, 30-6. Couple of defensive touchdowns and a number, what was it, like 4 sacks on Aaron Rodgers, if memory serves?
4 sacks, 12 hits, 17 pressures.
If not like anybody's counting. Aaron Rodgers might be out of there, and it feels very much like he would. I'd put that at a very high percentage chance. What would you put the percentage chance that Mike Tomlin is out of there? Because that's been the conversation. It was the conversation leading into these playoffs, and that was not the type of performance that deads all conversation to the negative and contrary. So where do you think that this thing is when it comes to Mike Tomlin's safety in his job?
You
want
me to put a percentage on the percentage on him being back next year?
However you want to do it, whichever way you want to make
percentage
that go.
Percentage on him being back next year, I don't see how you can go much higher than 50-50.
Okay, so you're just going to go right split down the middle here.
Yeah, simply because incredible career, incredible run. Is it 19 years, 18 years as the head coach?
I believe 19 is the number.
I think it's 19. But you can't ignore – they have to be thinking about things. And by things, I mean 9 straight playoff losses.
Yes.
That
seven straight playoff losses,
seven straight
ties Marvin Lewis for the most consecutive playoff losses in NFL history.
And then, so that's one of those where, well,
and you know how people feel about Marvin Lewis.
He is getting us, he is getting us to the playoffs, but it's not winning. And then the sort of the difference between his first few years in Pittsburgh and his last few years in Pittsburgh it's stark. So I know they're obviously appreciative of everything that he's done, but they have to be thinking about it.
I would imagine so. There's definitely some issues that you can look at roster wise, and maybe that's actually a way that you can make the argument for moving on from Mike Tomlin is you've got some elder statesmen with the way that this is built. Just look at the defensive line: Cam Hayward, 36, T.J. Watt, getting a little bit up there. Not to make it seem like he is ancient by any means, but the defensive secondary, there's a little bit of age in it, looking at like Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Although you do have some young studs, Joey Porter Jr. looked really good in that game last night. It felt like every time that you were throwing a Nico Collins, that yellow glove of Joey Porter Jr. was in the catch pocket, making it tough or impossible for Nico to bring the ball in. But there's an opportunity to maybe make a turnover here where you get a new coach in and they can kind of start building the team in the image of what they want it to be.
And you're going to need a new quarterback.
We had that conversation yesterday, I think, the idea of what has been one of the major issues that you could talk about with Mike Tomlin is not finding a quarterback and able to get you an opportunity to do more than just winning enough to get to the first round. And you're gonna be back in that place. What is the confidence level that the organization in that city has in Mike Tomlin to do that with the organization, knowing that it's not just him making the pick, but clearly they have not been able to do that. All of these things feel like the possibility of moving on from
him. And is he tired?
I don't think he is. I don't think he is at all. I think he loves coaching.
That's a different thing. I think you know, everything runs.
You think want to change in scenery?
Everything runs its course. Yeah. I think it's just the same thing year after year after year.
But
the,
do you
the,
feel
the struggle, you know?
Do you feel like he, because I would think he want to change the scenery if he ain't had no say so in the roster and all that stuff. Do you feel like he got a lot of say so in who to bring in and what to do?
I think clearly he has a say so. Now, to what degree now versus previously, I don't know. But I think he's sitting there. He understands all the things that you just mentioned. Need a quarterback. Roster's getting older. Do I really want to do that here again? Whereas you can get new life and be renewed somewhere else. Maybe sit out a year. I don't think he's tired of coaching, but he might just be tired of Pittsburgh.
That's interesting. I think that he's built that culture to exactly what he wants it, and having to go and establish that again. I think he can, and that's one of the reasons why. Boy, did ESPN lay it on thick yesterday as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that would like him because I think there's a lot of places that need a culture builder that they could also know has a certain floor. And I think this is one of the best coaching carousels for that, with Harbaugh out there, possibly Tomlin being out there. But in Pittsburgh,
he's staying on the floor. You know, like, this is their floor for 7 years. You know, he's staying on the floor.
And then all the poor quarterback choices they had since Big Ben retired. I'm just kind of wondering. They're not satisfied with this at all.
Be. No, they're not. A good text comes in from the 929. Empty playoff runs frustrate fans without question.
Yeah.
But owners love selling tickets to meaningful games every year. I will say that Art Rooney II, he seems to be, I mean, a stand-up guy in that. You know, they want to honor the legacy of what the Steelers are. And some of that is keeping Mike Tomlin and trying to, you know, have that level of steady hand and not turn this thing over too much. But it's getting to a place where they might need to make that decision.
Yeah, it seemed like, to me, I talked about the quarterbacks coming in, the coordinators that have been coming in was very questionable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to make a change.
Well, and you mentioned the owner, Reggie. A lot of owners talk about, we just want to win. The Rooney family, they are all about.
Yeah, this ain't Cincinnati.
We want to win.
Yeah, this ain't Cincinnati. Yeah, they have a standard, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting to watch now. Interesting thing, because although I will say in their defense, which they don't need much of, and I will do this quickly and walk away from it very happily. That wasn't a game where I went, man, the Steelers really lost it.
Oh, no, and that's what's bothering
me. They just got beaten into submission.
That's kind of like a mini confession, because I saw it last night. I've been seeing it a lot this morning and today. A lot of people are like, well, the Steelers offense couldn't do anything, and they're like blaming the Steelers offense. Nah, man, they put their hands around your throat and strangled you. You know, the guys in the white uniforms did a little something with that, you know?
Yeah, but in Pittsburgh, I mean, maybe
it's understandable.
Yeah, maybe that's national media, but Pittsburgh don't want to hear that.
No, I'm sure they don't. Nah. We'll watch from afar as they try and figure this out. But yet another season done. 10-win season, win the division. Or sorry, not 10-win season. Mm-hmm. But they win the division and out immediately.
I think they did win 10 games.
They won 10 games. Yeah, they won 10 games. Sorry, I was thinking about the NFC South again. Yeah. The 8-9 NFC South. What a hilarious place. Some more people coming in with the things that are satisfying as retiring one Aaron Rodgers in the way that you did. How about watching Andre Johnson whip Corlin Finnegan's ass? That was good.
Had enough to hear with that.
That one is so good. I just, every once in a while. Do you ever just find yourself sitting around like, I want to watch that again?
Mm-hmm.
Just play it back real quick. We continue around the NFL here with some important news, I think, for the Texans now that they're looking forward to the New England Patriots, as the Patriots Pro Bowl cornerback Christian Gonzalez is also in the concussion protocol, as obviously we saw Nico Collins. And did you notice that Justin Watson was also in concussion protocol?
Yeah, I guess a special teams thing.
Yeah, and I was okay. Mm-hmm. I felt bad that I was just like, all right, whatever.
He played?
Yeah, that was very mean of me because he's a part of the team, and obviously special teams matters quite a bit to this team. However, Christian Gonzalez out for them, and that's he was a first-round draft pick. He's been a very good cornerback for them. Does this at all offset the possibility, and I might even say probability, that Nico Collins does not play for your Texans on Sunday?
I don't know if offset is the word I would use. I just feel short week for Nico Collins. That's going to play a huge factor. You know, the teams are by and large out of it in the discussion of passing all the steps of the concussion protocol. You got to get those practices in, et cetera.
Yeah, it's five steps. A few of them, yeah, you have to do an active practice where, right, you only have two of those, Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, so I think one is going to affect the other. It's going to be weird if, like, Christian Gonzalez plays and Nico Collins does not. Although I guess you could argue the shorter day, you know, the shorter week or whatever might do it. And just as a side note, I thought Nico Collins kind of got his bell rung on a previous play.
Really?
When he stepped out. I marked it in my passing thoughts, which you're going to get at noon. It was about six or eight plays before the one where he went forehead first on the ground.
Yeah, which that just looked, when you went forward, yeah, into the ground, and it's a hard ground
about
as
six
well.
Six or eight plays, yeah, before that. I'm gonna rewatch it today and
look
and
at you getting into the tape.
A lot of times I'll rewatch, but not the tape. You know, just the games.
Nah, you're gonna get into the tape. We're gonna make you get into the tape.
Not getting into the tape. I am not getting into
Lopez. What happened there? Is that an inside zone? What are we looking at?
Sure. So no, but it was about six or eight plays before, and I think some of our listeners may have picked up on it. You know, he kind of hit the ground sideways and got up and kind of. He paused before he got up and then went straight to the sideline.
Mm.
Now, it could have been just a sub, but I thought he kind of got his bell rung on that.
Mm. Yeah, so, that's going to be, yeah, very much a conversation that we'll have probably a little bit today and then as we continue forward. But, yeah, remember, the five-step process of clearing the protocol, mm-hmm, there's, like, light activity, symptom-limited activity. So, yeah, you have to start by not having symptoms and then be able to go through three or four steps,
yeah,
of activity without symptoms. I will say, though, because remember that same process when Nico went through it before,
mm-hmm,
or when CJ went through it as well, they did not go out of their way to have additional practices that they could put in,
right, right,
to see. I think that this time they absolutely would, right? If we get to Friday,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, there's
put on your pads, boys. Yeah. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, we want to make sure. Now, what, yeah, sucks is you're also traveling where New England is not. So, mm-hmm, that might help. The disparity between Christian Gonzalez and Houston, because are you going to be able to get in that, no, kind of light, no, that activity if you're on the brink for the Texans on a travel day versus the, you know, the Patriots being at home, having, mm-hmm, that day just as an extra day where they could get him through the concussion protocol? That will be something interesting.
I think
to
if
watch.
One is out, the other's going to be out. But there is an argument to be made. Christian Gonzalez has the extra day, doesn't travel, et cetera, that maybe he could play and Nico wouldn't, which would be very problematic.
Yeah, some other things to make note of. As I mentioned, we have the lineup and, mm-hmm, what's happening. We mentioned that the Texans will face off against the Steelers as the first of two games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be 2 p.m., and you'll see the same people that you did yesterday. It'll be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call, and then, of course, all of the ESPN Monday Night Football crew will be involved in calling that game. But otherwise, that's a short turnaround for the Texans. The Niners are also in a short turnaround circumstance. Kyle Shanahan, after the game, mm-hmm, said, quote, when they beat the Eagles on Sunday, if the NFL is cool and understanding, they'll make it Sunday. They were not.
They're not cool nor understanding. And just, I want to go ahead and put that out there in case anybody missed it, because it was at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Bills Broncos, 3:30 p.m. Saturday on CBS.
Cool.
And then the game you just mentioned, Niners at Seahawks. 7 p.m. on Fox.
So they will have, again, 6 days, just like the Texans.
Yes. And 2 p.m. Sunday on ESPN and ABC, Texans at Patriots, and then the wrap-up, 5:30 p.m. On Sunday, which is, there's going to be some overlap there, on NBC, is Rams and Bears.
Yeah. So how heavy did you lean into the conversation here? Because I know Tony Dungy got really into it as, mm-hmm, well, the idea of the way that the NFL goes about this time disparity between games in this wild card and divisional round, because you're not giving yourself the opportunity of the best product possible, leaning into just getting these big primetime numbers, especially like on a Monday night game.
What's the option? That would be my answer.
Three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday.
You want to do that?
They could easily do that, mm-hmm, and not have that Monday night game. I know that we had a lot of fun watching it, but you inherently create, mm-hmm, a slight disparity for that team on Monday night who is moving on, even if you put the game on Sunday like they did.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL has any interest in that.
No qualms. They're like, get up and play football. We do not care.
They own days, and they like owning days, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of one of those games, though, the Bills who I think we're rooting for if we're going to create the Texans rooting guide.
Yeah.
I think you want to root for the Bills for the opportunity to have an AFC championship game at home should you do what you're supposed to do in New England on Sunday. Well, they will not have Gabe Davis. He has torn his ACL. He's going to be out. And I believe Jordan Poyer, their safety, is also out versus the Broncos. So that is actually a huge hit to the Bills as they go on and go and play a Broncos team that has not played in a couple weeks.
And, you know, we understand what Josh Allen is and what he can do, but they don't have the deepest of wide receiver rooms as it is.
Yes, yeah. They already, yeah. I think that that's one of the reasons why they were susceptible to the Texans, is they have to keep maximum number of dudes in routes because they don't have the top-end talent in their receiving core. That gets even rougher as Gabe Davis will not be able to play for them. Suffered a major knee injury, according to Sean McDermott.
A couple of texters said, yes, he actually went to the medical tent in the first quarter, but he just went briefly, came back out, went back into the game.
That's Nico Collins, yes. You mean?
They're going to look at that. They're going to look
at that. You think the Texans could get fined for that?
No, no. The NFL, is okay. When it comes to protocol, they're going to say, wait a minute, why did you go in there? And that, you know, they're going to try to make sure. I thought it was the case. I didn't know that he went into the medical tent briefly, but yeah. So he was looked a little loopy twice, and the second one was a lot worse.
I don't think that I can make any assumptions off of that, but I can tell you it feels bad, right, having that be the case. But if you are rooting for the Bills, which it seems like a few of our texters are, what will make you feel a little bit better is Ed Oliver seems to – he's back practicing, and I think that that would lead to him actually playing in that game, and they do need some help on that defensive line.
Who's rooting for the Bills around here?
I think a lot of people are. All right. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 on a Victory Reaction Tuesday here. Coming up next, we got to talk about it. C.J. Stroud, it was a rough game, and he looked nervous, out of sorts, frustrated at times. What's wrong? What felt like it was wrong? How pervasive is this? Let's talk through the C.J. Stroud performance in that wild card game next.